I'm feeling incredibly encouraged. The fact that we're already having such an incredibly rich and detailed debate, that we're looking at everything from the international architecture to how you ensure that grassroots constituencies are involved in the actual assessment of the SDGs. That's a huge spectrum. And I think that that really augurs well for the SDGs, because there's real traction, there's real concern about how effective implementation will look like on the ground. Another really important aspect is that the SDGs have, as I say, the promise of a revolution, and the key is in how we implement them. And I'm already hearing so much emphasis on the interlinkages, on managing trade-offs, on evidencing trade-offs, on really looking at how we bring about systemic change. So there's a real understanding that the SDGs are not just the amalgamation of 169 targets, but that the core and the heart of the SDGs are the interlinkages. And that is where we're going to see a real change in sustainable development.
Two main points were brought forward. The first was the issue of gathering data, and the second was more on the practical way to push for the achievement of the 2030 goals. Could you maybe explain why those two points were especially important?
Look, the data is very important because one of the issues that we had throughout the MDGs was, one, we didn't really understand in many countries what the baseline was, so it's very difficult to measure progress. But also we've faced with a dearth of real data, so you don't really know what's happening on the ground. So that's critical. But what's really important as we build up the statistical capacity of countries is that it's clear that this is done in order to enable countries to make better decisions. The data is not to report to the UN. The data will be used by the UN, so it's useful if it's comparable, but above all, it has to be so that countries and constituencies can take informed decisions. We hear about leaving no one behind. Well, we have the tyranny of the averages. On average, a country can be on track to meet a target or has exceeded a target. But when you disaggregate it and you look at it by either different population groups, women and children are the ones that often stand out, or indigenous communities. When you start to look at subnational development trends, then the inequality comes out. That's where disaggregated data becomes critical to leaving no one behind. But in addition to that, countries are at such different levels and have such different needs that addressing this is going to be a key challenge and a key opportunity. And what I'm happy about is that when we were negotiating the SDGs, I kept asking for statisticians to be in the room, and we have engaged national statistics agencies from the word go. So the indicators and the metrics that are being built up are effective, make sense, are cost effective, and will be able to help countries manage their information and manage their development processes better.
So far, do you feel that the governments are willing to improve that aspect, or is it still a point of contention? Where do we stand on that regard?
I don't think you can generalize across governments at all. I think there's a wide range. I don't think anybody disputes the need for the importance of data. The question is one of capacity and cost. You're hearing very strong requests for support for developing the capacity. And if I can say, I think an important aspect is also that to what degree the SDGs can be linked with other processes. And for and foremost, to my mind, comes climate change. The nationally determined contributions, which are the pledges that countries are making to the, or have made, these will be legally binding for countries. And these really indicate the commitment of countries to tackle not just mitigation issues, their contributions to reducing emissions, but very importantly, adaptation. Over 130 of these NDCs include adaptation. And adaptation means making development resilient to the impacts of climate change.
The title of this section of the event was 1 year in, where do we stand? So where do we stand 1 year in?
I think we stand in a very good place. There's a real understanding of the challenges, the opportunities that are going forward. We heard a very frank discussion about some of the more political issues. We heard frank discussions about what it's going to take to implement. Countries are already coming together and saying, how do I implement? They're talking about how they bring their line ministries in, how they bring their finance ministries, their planning ministries. So this is really a whole of system approach that I'm seeing coming from countries. But equally important is that same very broad participatory process that enabled us to arrive at the SDGs and why there's so much traction around them was in the room there this morning also. major groups and other constituencies are heavily engaged in asking to ensure that they are also strong stakeholders and strong voices in implementing the SDGs. And that's going to be critical because the SDGs are such a comprehensive agenda that governance cannot do it alone.
You would say that it wasn't only words, it was not only theory, it was also strong facts?
Yes, I think that we're really starting to focus in on what are the key entry points. The one missing aspect this morning that I would have liked to hear a little bit more from is private sector. Private sector will be very, very critical to delivering on the SDGs, and we have to make sure that this process is translated for private sector, because I think sometimes when we gear ourselves to public sector, we use a certain kind of vocabulary and a language, and we have to learn to be better at translating, better